Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Now, before we sort of, I start to say before we begin, but actually it's part of my beginning. I'm not here this morning on the subject of Trinity, talking about Trinity and trying to describe the Trinity, but I won't, and of course I don't know that we can describe the Trinity, but nonetheless, I want to be sure that we're all on the same page concerning this issue, though, because we're going to use some words interchangeably, and I want to make sure we're all on the same page, okay? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God. Many times in my life in church, I've heard the Holy Spirit referred to as an it. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a Him. Okay? He's a person. Jesus is a person. The Father is a person. I'm not saying they're human. Didn't say that. I'm saying they are distinct entities unto themselves. But they are all God, and they are all God co-equally. In other words, Jesus is not more God than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not less God than the Father and the Son. And the Father is not more God than the Son and the Spirit. They are all God, and they are all God co-equally. All right, now, are we there? Okay, well, good. Then we've got to have that as our foundation. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. We have talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and what we determined was, is that what this verse has to do with is that we need to clean out our garage. Michelle found this picture for me. Isn't this good? Here's the car. Here's the car right here looking into the garage, and the garage is all full of stuff. Commandment number one of the Ten Commandments is clean your garage out. We live in the only country in the world where we park our cars in the driveway because our garages are full of junk. Nothing in our garage, everything added up in our garage doesn't equal the value of our car, but we leave our car outside. That's what no other gods before me is all about. God is saying, listen, inside of your heart, you've got all of this junk that you keep out of the weather and keep stored and keep to yourself, and you leave the important stuff, me, on the outside. Have no other gods before me is basically just the point. Get rid of the junk in your life so that we can fill it with the good stuff. Okay? Next verse. Commandment number two, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image or any likeness thereof, the heaven above, the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. This commandment is, what's in your wallet? That's what this commandment is about. Last week we talked about, If I had a picture in my wallet, and on this side was my wife, and on this side was my girlfriend, how many of you know my wife would not be real happy about that?
I know that to be a fact.
If it was a picture of my wife on this side and just an attractive woman I'd never met on the other side, how many of you know that makes no difference? Then the issue is not that I have a picture of another woman in my wallet. The issue is that I have a heart to carry the picture in my wallet. That's the issue. And commandment two is what's in your wallet? We got, oh, I love God. But I got all this other stuff in here too I love. And he says, don't have any other gods before me. And then, of course, my last favorite line from last week. Obeying the commandments is so easy, even a caveman can do it. Okay. I watch too much TV. That's what happens when you work for Time Warner. Commandment number three. You should not use or repeat the name of the Lord your God in vain, that is, lightly or frivolously, in false affirmations or profanely, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, why is this commandment important? And this commandment, the first commandment was, we got junk in the garage, get the junk out of your garage. The second commandment is, what's in your wallet? The third commandment is, don't do name dropping. Don't be involved in name dropping. Now, why is this commandment important? Many years ago, I was in a ministerial meeting where there was a lot of different ministers from different churches. In fact, it's rather funny. My wife's side of the family, we have three preachers in our immediate. I have two brother-in-laws, and they're both preachers. And last Sunday, for one of my brother-in-law's birthday and my wife's birthday, we all went out to lunch with my wife's side of the family. And I came in a few minutes late, and my brother-in-law, the Methodist minister, looked up at me and said, "Well, you didn't need to go home and change clothes. You could have wore to lunch what you wore to church." I went, "I did wear this to church." His wife looked at me and said, "Sort of casual, isn't it?" I said, "We're sort of a casual church." Anybody got a problem with that?
Nope.
Okay, good. If you do, I'll name a half a dozen formal ones you're welcome to. But anyway, it was rather funny. I was in a meeting with a lot of other ministers, and it was at Christmas time. And the person who was officiating the meeting spoke to one of the other pastors there who's Roman Catholic and said to him, "Those of us in the Protestant belief system, we don't really put a lot of emphasis on Mary like the Catholics do. Would you please explain to us what it is, you know, the position that Catholics take concerning Mary?" And so this guy goes through several different things and talks about it and all sort of thing. And when he gets done, he said, "But let me tell you guys this. The thing all of us need to remember, whether we overemphasize Mary or underemphasize Mary, the one thing that is true is this: nobody likes to have their mother talked about." Now, I've not told a Mary joke since then. But how many of you know that's true? Because this commandment of name dropping is important because names are important. Our names are important to us. When you go to Dale Carnegie and learn how to win friends and influence people, one of the first things they will tell you is that this is how you remember people's names, because people like to hear their names. We need to be careful about the things that we say. Because, let me see if I can get to where I am. Sorry, Exodus 20. Why is this important? Because in Psalm 61:5, we read, "For you, O Lord, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear and revere and honor your name." Psalm 61:5, those of you using church Bibles, is on page 532. Psalm 61:5 teaches us that there is a heritage that is given to us by God for those who reverence and revere and fear God's name. The inference is that there is a curse for those who don't. But there is a heritage that is available to those who obey God's, or who honor God's name. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, "But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle word they speak. For by your words will you be justified and acquitted. By your words you will be condemned and sentenced." Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we don't like for anybody to talk about the judgment of God. We just want to hear about the love of God, how God loves everybody. Okay, that's fine if you want to walk around wopsided. Okay? And you can walk around wopsided with, you know, "God love, God love, God love." And then you can walk around wopsided the other side, you know, "God got a big stick he wants to hit you in the head with." And guess what? Neither one of those people are balanced. There is a judgment of God that is coming. And at the judgment of God, we will give an account for every idle word that is not under the blood. for every idle word that is not under the blood. And so we need to be careful that we do not take God's name in vain, because we will have to give an account for that. According to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it reads, "And there is salvation in and through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which and in which we must be saved." Names are important. Our names call to mind not only the good things about us, but the bad things about us. If I use the name Hitler, you don't think of anything good. But if I use the name Billy Graham, you don't think of anything bad. Our names are sort of a summary of who and what we are. But ladies and gentlemen, if we will protect our character, your reputation will take care of itself. If we will protect our character, our reputations will take care of themselves. Names are important. You know, there are several times in scriptures where God, as He changes a person's direction, gives them a new call, sets them on a new path, He changes their names. The Bible even tells us, I remember one time early part of being your pastor here, I did a sermon on God writing our name on a white rock, and I handed out white rocks to everybody. Remember that? We're going to get a new name when you're in heaven. Because names are important. Commandment 3, you should not use, repeat the name of the Lord your God in vain. Vain equals the word profane. The word profane means debasing or defiling that which is holy or worthy of reverence. To profane something means to debase or defile that which is worthy of reverence. We endeavor to try to walk a very fine line here at this church, that we don't become so reverential that our hands are tied behind our backs and our necks are stiff and God doesn't have an opportunity to move. And yet the other side is that we don't want to be so disrespectful, or I will even use the word so cavalier, about who God is and His presence among us, that we offend the God that we say that we love. And that's a very fine line to walk. But we have to be careful as the best we can to do that, because we don't want to profane God's name by endeavoring to debase or defile that which is holy. Now, I'm going to give you this definition more in a layman's terms. This is how I define it. I define profane as an attempt to pull God down to my level and to make Him equal with me. This commandment is important because when we take God's name in vain, what we are doing is we are attempting to bring God down to the level I'm on. I probably will say this again, but let me just say it right here. That's what we're doing when we swear by God. When I'm trying to convince you of something, Leroy, and I go, "I swear to God that's the truth," what am I doing? I'm bringing God down to the integrity level of my word. Because now I got God standing witness that I'm not telling you a lie. That's called name dropping. And God says, "Don't drop my name." Because my name is holy. Woo! That you come on up here with me. The thesaurus for the word profane in an adjective used the words cursing, unsacred, worldly. As a verb, it used desecrate, misuse, or empty. But the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this: why is commandment number 3 important? Reason number 1, it's important because God's name changes things, ladies and gentlemen. God's name changes things. It changes things for the good. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, be healed. God's name changes things for the positive. But if we misuse God's name, we can also put into effect bad things. A law of sowing and reaping. Now, I'm going to be real careful here walking this line, okay? But we need to go here. You see, whenever we, and I hope none of you do this, but whenever you hear someone use the expression GD, they are putting into, just as surely as it's a rise up and walk in Jesus' name, when you GD something, you have cursed that thing in your life. We get mad and we call it a GD car. Well, you just set all of heaven against your car. Because it's at God's name that everything moves. And when, thank you. And when God's involved, all he's got to do is be on a boat right up on the shore, and the guy with the demons cries out, "Please don't send us to hell." Amen. Because everything moves. Let me just reshare this story with you again. There was a widow, had only one son. He was dead. She was taking him out to bury him. Death's walking one way, life's coming the other. They get to this path and somebody's got to move. Death says, "You got to go." Life said, "I'm not moving over." Death says, "I've got this one." And life says, "Watch this." Because at God's name, everything moves. And life never takes a step to the side for death to pass by. In the stare down, guess who blinks first? It's always the devil. Amen? That's good preaching. I don't care who you are. It's important because when you use God's name, things change. Number two. Now, before I read you number two, I need to give you these verses because number two is going to make you mad. So I just let you know that right up front. Okay, everybody be ready to be mad, okay? But I didn't come here to make you happy. I came here to tell you the truth. Matthew 12:34 says, "You offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil or wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflowing, the superabundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." In Matthew 15:18 it says, "Whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart." Whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. In Luke 6:45, we read, "The upright or the honorable man out of the good treasure in his heart produces what is upright. But the evil man out of the evil storehouse of his heart produces that which is evil." The second reason why we do not use God's name in vain is this, because our mouth exposes what's in our heart. You can, I'm going to give you a chance to write that down before I throw this sucker punch. We do not use God's name in vain because it exposes what's in our heart. Ladies and gentlemen, look this way. If you've got an evil mouth, you've got an evil heart. End of subject, over and done with, that's it. Well, I know that every once in a while, you know, they might say some little something, but Charlie, their heart is good. You're deceived. Because it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And don't tell me on one hand I love God, and on the other hand your mouth give me a GD. Because your actions are a manifestation of your beliefs. Remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago? They are a manifestation of your beliefs. And what you believe is not what you say. What you believe is what you do. And if we have a foul mouth, it is because we have a rotting heart. Thank you. I've been ready for this all week. Because you see, when Isaiah saw the Lord, what he said was, please clean my mouth up. First thing out of his mouth, I see the Lord high and lifted up. And the first thing I want you to do is clean my mouth out. And yes, ma'am. Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead and ask me now. Because somebody else has the same question.
Okay. Do you just mean GD or do you just mean, you know, some more other little stuff that might go blah, blah, blah? Or do you mean just GD? See, because I don't use GD, but I would say some other stuff. Let's just be honest.
Don't you love her honesty? Don't you love the fact that she's willing to ask a question that all the rest of you are going, I'd love to ask that question, but I'm not going to ask that question. Thank you very much for asking that question. You cannot qualify sin. Sin is sin. It all stinks. So it's not just GD. It's a foul mouth.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am, you can. Okay.
You said we were casual around here, and just as clear as I'm hearing your voice, the Lord said, but not with the word.
Right, we are not casual with the word. Yes, that's exactly what I think we've had enough word this morning already. No, we're not casual with the word. But yes, that's exactly right. I remember a story happening at my grandmother's house where some little child in the midst of doing something used her mother's favorite word. How many of you know your children will use your favorite word at the most inopportune time? And the mother, out of embarrassment, said, I don't know where they learned that. And my great-grandmother said, I do. Let me tell you, you know what the Bible verse that goes with that is? Your sins will find you out. Amen? We do not put a degree on sin. Okay? We only quote what it is the Scripture says, and the Scripture says that out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks. Reason number three why this is important is because, as I've already mentioned, it's name dropping. What we do is I swear to God, I'm telling you the truth. With God as my witness. You know? And what we do is we reach up and we grab hold of a holy God and we bring Him down to an unholy person. And we try to equate His reputation with my reputation. And that's why God says, don't be dropping my name. Okay? Number four. The fourth reason why this is important. I'm on four? Yeah. Is because vain equals empty. Okay, I'm going to give you a chance to write that down so I can explain it to you. Because this is one that I've been guilty of myself. I won't be guilty of it after today, though. I'm telling you, well, I won't be guilty of it after I learned about it this week. But there's an empty use of Jesus' name. Let me give you an example. Yeah, we're going to be at the beach next week. We'll just be down there suffering for Jesus. You never heard that expression? You've never heard the expression whenever somebody's out just doing something they really want to do, you know, like we're going on a cruise, and while we're there we'll just be suffering for Jesus. You never heard that expression? Anybody use that expression? How many of you have? Yeah, how many of you? Okay, so it's about half and half. It's whenever we use Jesus' name in a very empty form. How many of you know Jesus got nothing to do with me going to the beach? You know? But sometimes we will use His name, just inserting it as some sort of a little joke or just something to say or trying to make light of a particular moment or something like that. And I'm going to tell you something. As I studied about this week, I felt some of God's concern and anger about this. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you lightly use, oh, I'm just suffering for Jesus, you know, I'm going to tell you something. The reason I think that really gets under God's ire is because there are people in this world who really are suffering for Jesus. And we make light of what is going on in their lives and our own life. And so we need to just simply be careful that when we say His name, we mean His name, and we're not just using His name in an empty way. You follow? That's exactly what I'm talking about. That is exactly what I'm talking about. Number five. Now this is the one that we're going to have to talk about for a minute. Oh, Lordy. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Okay. Okay, that is an excellent question. God holds the unbeliever accountable for only one thing. You didn't accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not that we use His name in vain, or that we get drunk, or that we cheat on our wives. None of that sends you to hell. What sends you to hell is that you've not given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. That's what sends you to hell. And I'm going to tell you something. Heaven will not be a platform for sinners to testify about how bad they were. Okay? There's only one question in heaven. Does Jesus know who you are? The way He put it was, depart from me, for I never knew you. And that's the only question. And people don't go to hell because they're, you know, I've even had people say to me, you know, well, I've had people say to me, I couldn't go to church. If I was walking to church, I'm such a bad sinner. If I walked in church, the building would fall down. You know what that is? That's pride. Because there's no such thing as a good sinner and a bad sinner. There's only sinners. Please remember with me, there are only two kinds of people in the world. The sheep are on the right and the goats are on the left. There is no not-so-bads in the middle. None. Everybody is divided into one or two camps. And so the unregenerated are not held responsible for their sin. They are held responsible for the sin of the murder. So here's what sends a lost person to hell. They're all murderers. Because it was their sin that killed Christ, for which they never made application for that substitutionary on their, so they could be covered under the blood. God only holds us accountable as believers for what we know. But here's the other side of that. Especially in America, you got a word in your hand. And it gets back, I think this was last week we were talking about this. If you're going down the boulevard and it's 45 and a policeman pulls you over at 55 and he says to you, you know, in fact, that's what he says. First thing when a policeman pulls you over, what's the first question out of his mouth?
Do you know?
But guess what? He really doesn't care if you know or not, because you are breaking the law. And the fact that you don't know doesn't get you out of the ticket, because the law is still the law. Okay? So the believer is held only responsible for what they know. But we cannot say, I don't want to know so that I won't be held responsible, because that's irresponsible. We have the privilege in this country, and as Americans, we have the privilege to know God's Word. The reason we don't know God's Word is, I think, two primary things. One, we want our ears tickled and you know, we want to hear what we want to hear. Okay? But secondly, we're lazy. We're lazy. If we'd spend as much time in the Word as we do knowing, you know, everybody in here knew the commercial. Everybody knew the commercial. All I had to do was throw out the punchline and everybody's laughing. They go, oh yeah. See? But if we'd spend as much time with our nose in His Word as we do with our nose in our TVs. Because we, and right while I'm being ugly about this, let me just go on and say, and especially in this church, I believe we'll be held to an even higher standard, because God has been gracious to us to instruct us. And to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Yes, ma'am. Don't mean to be yelling at you. I love you to death.
someone come in your head, I need to read my Bible. Hey, but this show's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making a conscious decision.
Yes, you are.
Which one you're going to do.
Exactly.
And I mean, every time the word comes up to us and we choose something else, we made that conscious decision.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is more important to us than the Lord.
Exactly. Everybody hear that? She's okay. That is exactly right. That's the point that I keep nailing at. It is not a I didn't know. It is a conscious decision that we make. And yes, and all of y'all are guilty. Thank you.
But then the thing that kept hitting me the most was in the movie, and he kept saying more and more when the guy was doing the drill.
Mm-hmm.
He looked up, he was in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's requiring from us, to give more and more and more. He wants our best, but we just want to give him enough.
That's exactly right.
If we give that.
That's exactly right.
And like he was dealing with me this morning, you know, because my thing is, well, I go to men's Bible study on Monday. I go to church on Sunday. People that cross my path, I witness to. I invite people to, you know, engagements or whatever. But he was saying, is that your best?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give more?
Can you give more?
And I think we just keep giving just enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we don't want to know more.
Amen.
We've got to be held accountable for it. But the more we know, the more he requires us to do, because he says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Exactly.
And I think we don't want that more, because we don't want to be required to give more.
But let me say this. Ladies, let me say two things about that. And what Rivon's saying is exactly right. But let me say this, two things. The more you know, the more in love with Jesus you are, the easier it is to do what he tells you to do. You know? I mean, there's nobody in the world I adore more than my wife. And when she says to me, will you do me a favor? The answer is yes. She don't have to tell me what the favor is. Because it doesn't make any difference. Ask me anything, and it's yours. She'll say to me, you know, at the college they have these vending machines. And so she'll say, do you have any $1 bills that I can get to, you know, get me a drink? I give her the last dollar out of my wallet. Because, not because I have to, but because I want to. And you know, it doesn't even, it's like, I don't, and really, it doesn't, I don't care. I don't care. I just do it because there's a relationship there. There's a love there. See? When you fall in love with Jesus, once again, when you fall in love with Jesus, doing what he says is so easy. Even a caveman can do it. It's not a burden. When you wanna, it's only a burden when you gotta.
Yeah, exactly.
But we only get to a gotta because we don't love him enough to wanna.
Yeah.
Is that good English?
That's fine.
Okay, my mama's letting me get away with it. That's good enough. That's good enough for me. Yes, Charlie.
I can't get by Isaiah. But, you know, he threw it out a little bit ago.
Yes, speak up. No, speak up. You need to speak up.
Can you hear me now?
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, buddy.
God, I love him.
Likewise. I love you too, not just me.
I know.
Okay. Isaiah asked for something, see? Okay? He never complained about how it was done, if you read the word. All right? I mean, a coal on the lips. Mm-hmm.
That'd be some stinging stuff, wouldn't it?
Oh, my goodness. When you come to the Lord, it's the coal somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come asking, you don't complain about what's going on afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It falls into this category because love takes the place of, oh, boy, I hate to have to do this. Doesn't it?
That's exactly right. When you want to, it's not burdensome to you. Not at all. Anyone else? Thank you for your great participation. Yes, ma'am?
I want to ask about the name dropping.
Okay.
people who are not even in the Christian world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Use the name of Jesus and Christ when they swear.
Okay. Because the question was, even people who are not saved will use Jesus' name when they swear. Here's why, ladies and gentlemen. Because your spirit knows the truth, whether you're willing to admit to it or not. And your spirit knows that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Okay, we're going to get there in just a minute. But Jesus' everything moves when God's name is used. And your spirit knows it, whether or not your mind and your body know it, your spirit knows it. Right, and they do it for attention's sake too. All right, moving right along. Number five. The fifth reason for not using God's name in vain is because we use it as an ace up our sleeve. Okay, just write it down and I will explain it. We use God's name as an ace up my sleeve. God, I need a new job. I need more money. I need a car. I need a newer wife. I need my kids to straighten up. I want you to take care of my boss. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been taught that if we pray in Jesus' name, God's hands are handcuffed. Now, that's not the way we said it, but that's what we said. All you got to do is pray in Jesus' name, and God's going to do it. Let me tell you something. God, being God, doesn't have to do anything. He's sovereign. Exactly. But we've got this ace that we hold up our sleeves, and what we do is we pray selfishly. But then we make sure that we end it right in Jesus' name. Amen. And that means, jump, God. And guess how quickly God jumps? Not very fast, Saint Nick. Not very fast. What we do is we pray selfish desires. We pray what it is we want. God, get me out of this situation I got myself into. We don't say that. What we say is I find myself in. Because we won't take responsibility for our own decisions. Okay? God, get me out of this situation I find myself in. Or I need you to fix this or fix that or fix the other thing or do this or jump that or do that. Jump through this hoop, jump through that hoop. Here's the question we need to ask ourselves when we are praying. When we are praying, the question is this. Would Jesus be praying what I'm praying if Jesus were praying? Would Jesus be praying what I'm praying if Jesus were praying? Because the truth of the matter is discipleship is defined as living the life of Jesus out through my life. Let me give it to you again. Discipleship is defined as living the life of Jesus out through my life. So if I'm a disciple of Jesus and Jesus is living His life out through me, then my prayers are supposed to be His prayers.
Or the way He would pray.
Or what He would pray about. My prayers are supposed to be a reflection of what's on God's heart. Well, I just don't know what's on God's heart. Hey, guess what? The Bible gives us an answer for that one too. It says, when you know not how to pray, hush. And let the Spirit pray through you. Because guess what? It's between your ears. A bunch of stinking meat. It's called carnally minded. We're all a bunch of meatheads. You know what a carnivorous is? So if you've got a carnal mind, you've got a meat head.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Do we all feel encouraged? Let's all go home. So when we don't know how to pray, that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. who would pray through us and pray that heart and pray what is. Because I start off by saying the Father and the Son and the Spirit are all God and all God co-equally. So whatever's on Jesus' heart, I promise you the Spirit knows about it. And whatever's on God's heart, the Spirit knows about it. And so when you don't know how to pray, and let Him pray. Because His prayers will get you through. Prayer, the objective of prayer, is to empty ourselves of ourselves so that we might be filled with all that He is. Prayer is not our Christmas wish list, dear God up in heaven, I want, and don't wait till December 25th to bring it to me. Prayer is where we empty ourselves of ourselves so that we might be filled with all that He is. I think that's a very good definition for prayer. All right. Number 6. Did that come up? Yeah. I can't give you number 6 yet, so we're going to move on. What do I do with what I now know? That's the question you asked. What do I do with what I now know? Number 1, ask forgiveness. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have made a habit of name dropping or using God's name in vain, or swearing using God's name, or endeavoring to pull God down, it's just a prayer. The slate can be wiped clean in one honest prayer. Because those who repent of their sin, He forgives. And so what we need to do, if we have been breaking this commandment of name dropping, the first thing we need to do is to ask for forgiveness. Let me say this also. I didn't really spend a lot of time with it. Did you see the thing up there where it was a woman's hand with a key? I used that particular one this morning for this reason. I think that maybe this particular commandment could unlock a lot of things in our lives. That we have used God's name in vain addressing issues in our lives, and we have set a course of action for things to be bad in our lives. Like those damn kids. Maybe that's the reason we're having a problem with our kids, is because we've cursed our kids. We got mad, and because we didn't control our own tongue. Now every spirit of religion just jumps straight up. Did you feel it? You're supposed to check your religion at the door. Okay? And if you're going to bring it in here, you can expect for it to get a black eye. If I've got anything to do about it. I understand. Well, I just don't think a preacher should talk like that. Well, how do you think a preacher should talk? I mean, do we have a secret code? No. Good ones will tell you where you live. Okay, now my attempt is not to offend anyone. Alrighty? But my attempt is to make sure we understand what it is I am saying. And I believe that we have out of our mouth, we've cursed our nation. We've cursed our church. We've cursed our spouse. We've cursed our job. We have, because, let me go back to my principle, at the name of Jesus, everything moves. Either to the good or to the bad. And if we damn something or curse it in any way, we have set into course a matter of sowing and reaping. And do you know what the problem with sowing and reaping is? You never reap in the same season you sow. And it's a ball that's rolling down a hill. And how many of you know that the further down the hill it goes, the more steam it picks up? And we need to ask God to forgive us for every bad seed that we have sown out of our mouths as we have cursed our spouse, cursed our jobs, cursed our house, cursed our neighborhood, cursed our neighbors, cursed ourselves. Thank you very much. There's a good example. Jackie said, well, I'll be damned. How many people have hurt? You know, I'm not going to ask you how many of you use that. How many of you understand what she's talking about there, you know? And we set into motion and see here. Yeah, I'm coming to her in just 1 second. The reason why we are back at the Ten Commandments is because I'm trying to show you that the commandments weren't given to us by God for God to restrict us from something that would bring us great joy. God is endeavoring to keep us reined in from that which we self-destruct over. And so he says, don't take my name in vain, not because I'm God and I don't want you using my name incorrectly. That's not what it's all about. It's because you don't use my name in vain because I'm trying to protect you from you. Because I only have one motivation towards you, he says. I love you. I love you. Yes, Miss Carol. I will kill you. There's your curse. Yeah. And you don't even have to use anything that makes religious spirits jump up. Especially with our children. I'm going to wring your neck. Yes, sir? Thank you very much. Exactly.
Sometimes we think, just if I don't say it, but then the Lord takes it to the next level. If you think it, it's still like saying it. If it's in your heart.
Because this is where we started months ago. Is it possible to bring every thought captive to the Holy Spirit? What's the answer?
Yes.
Thank you very much. That's the correct answer. If it's not possible, rip it out of your Ephesians. Just tear the page out. But it is possible, and that's why it's in Ephesians or Galatians. In the New Testament. I'm safe with that one. Because God is calling us to the next level. Not just a matter of it not going out of your mouth, but a matter of it being captured by the Holy Spirit in your mind. And then the Holy Spirit says to us, and the reason where it got to your mind is because it originated out of your heart. And what I want to deal with is your heart. That's what God's after. What do I do with what I know? I ask forgiveness. Number two, I use His name to invite His presence. Instead of using the name of Jesus as just some sort of an empty word or some kind of a curse word or some kind of a fill-in word, when you use His name to invite His presence. Because I'm going to tell you something, when my wife calls my name, most of the time I'm listening. That honest enough?
That's honest.
But when I'm not listening, she says to me, I need your attention for a minute. But you know, I'm sitting over there last night. I went to the movie. Okay? I come home and I've got some things that I need to get done for today. I'm sitting over there and I'm working as hard as I can work. And all of a sudden I hear this mutter out of her mouth all the way on the other side of the room. I hear this mutter. I think I broke my printer. Now she wasn't talking to me. But I heard it. She's talking to herself. And she did break her printer. I could just knock her. Anyway. She tore up her computer. Then she tore up her printer.
I know. It's terrible.
And I'm like, I do not have time to be messing with this. But I got up. And I went over there. Because she had her stuff.
Move out of the way.
Yeah, that's exactly. That was the first words out of my mouth. Move and let me get in there. But what she's got to do is important too. See? But you see, the point I'm driving at is that she didn't even call my name. She just expressed a frustration and everything inside of me stood up. That's what I'm talking about right here. When you call Jesus' name, when you're in relationship with Him, and you call His name, He's listening. He's paying attention. He's headed your direction. And that is the correct use of His name. Amen? Yes, ma'am. Where the frustration boils over.
Right. And you say, oh, Jesus, is that
right or wrong?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is. I mean, it is to the point where I'm asking for His advice or seeking just a peaceful second in the midst of, you know.
And sometimes it's just an aggravation spilt over.
Right.
Okay? And see, that's the thing. It's not what you say. It's the motivation behind why we say it. And so there are times when we use His name and we are saying, God, just in this moment, I could use a breath. Just out of frustration, yeah. But then there are times when out of frustration we use His name and that's the inappropriate use. But it's not the use. It's the motivation. Then He answers. That's right. In His presence, I experience a change of direction, I experience a change of mind, and I experience a change of heart. Now, I'm going to take you back to my last point, number 6. The 6th reason why we do not take the Lord's name in vain is because it's at the name of Jesus that knees bow. It is at the name of Jesus that knees bow. Some of you are relatively new with our fellowship. We learned under Pastor Jim that the Lord's Prayer does not begin with "Our Father which art in heaven." The Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. If you just want to, those of you who are new, if you want to write that down, you can write that down, take a look at it later. I'm not going to get into it now. But the Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. What happens in John 17 is that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and He is praying Himself to the Father. And the way Pastor Jim taught it to us, he used to lean over and he said, God gives us the privilege of sticking our head in between a conversation between the Son and the Father, and we get to hear what they talk about. And that's found in John 17. And in John 17, Jesus talks about everything You've asked Me to do, I've done. Be with mine and send Your Spirit. And the Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. What starts off with "Our Father which art in heaven" should accurately be defined as the disciples' prayer. Because the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And He said, when You pray, You say. See, that wasn't His prayer. That was His instruction for how we should pray. And so, to be more accurate, it is accurately defined as the disciples' prayer, not the Lord's prayer. But in the disciples' prayer, it says, Our Father which art in heaven, what's the next line? That's what we need to remember. It is the name of God is hallowed. Another word for it is holy. It is sacred. It is not to be defamed. Why? Because as sure as there's a sun in the sky and a moon on the other end, one thing I can promise you, ladies and gentlemen, with unequivocally is this. Every knee is going to bow. From Adam to whoever's on the other end, every person who you've ever studied about, thought about, and everybody you've never even heard of. Every child that died at 5 years of age in Africa, to Alexander the Great. From Adam, number uno, to whoever is on the other end. Every one of us. And this is why we don't use God's name in vain. Because at the name of Jesus, the whole earth bends its knee. And it doesn't make any difference how arrogant you've been, how smart you thought you were, how much you've accomplished. It doesn't make any difference how poor you are and how much you didn't accomplish. There's going to be a day when we are all going to be standing before Him before we either take a trip left or a trip right. There's going to be a day when every human being who has ever sucked as much as one piece of oxygen off of this earth is going to bow their name, and out of their lips are going to come these words, Jesus is Lord. And that's why we don't use His name in vain. Because there's nothing greater. There is nothing greater. And just make sure you heard me. There is nothing greater than His name. Philippians 2 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Oh, I forgot about these people. Every knee that's in heaven. I forgot. I didn't even mention them. But guess what? They are subject to the same name that you and I are subject to. That at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, every knee in earth, and guess what? Guess who gets the last laugh? Because even the devil himself will bow his knee. Every tongue will confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father Almighty. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. It's been an awesome morning in His presence today, hasn't it? Amen. We're grateful to Him for our worship, for how He allows us and orchestrates it. We're grateful to Him for the laughter, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we're grateful to Him for His Word, because the only reason He gives us His Word is because He loves us. You may be here today and you may have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There may be even some of you here today who thought that you had, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you realize that there's something missing. There's a void there. There's an empty spot that needs to be filled, and nothing can fill it other than Jesus. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you feel that you need an elder to pray with you, if you'll just stand and move towards the left over behind the curtains, they'll be glad to meet with you there and pray with you. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you now, while nobody's looking around and it's nobody's business but you and the Lord's, if you just want to stand and move in that direction, they would love to pray with you. Maybe you do know Jesus as your Savior, but today's a day when you understand that there's a whole new level that you need to move to, and you'd like for somebody to pray with you concerning that. You're welcome to move that direction also and let those guys pray with you. But I have a feeling that today, many of you here have been challenged in your heart and in your spirit by what you've heard. And I think that many of us this morning, and I know as I have studied this week, areas in my lives that I felt very comfortable about, I have felt uncomfortable about. And God has spoken to me through His Word this week and said, you do that, and I want you to stop it. And I have a feeling that there are many of you who are in that identical same boat. God's spoken to you this morning. And I want you to know that up to this point, I don't want to say it's been okay, but it's been okay. But from this point forward, it's not okay anymore. Once God speaks to you, the line is drawn in the sand. If you're here this morning and you just feel that nudge from the Spirit of God that there's another step that He's wanting you to take, another discipline He's wanting in your life, another touch that He's wanting to give to you, another experience that He's wanting you to experience in Him, a deeper dedication. As Ravon was sharing with us, that have I given all is the question. And this morning we've come to realize we haven't. I want to pray with you with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you'd like to be part of this prayer, I'm just going to ask you if you'll stand right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to go anywhere. Just stand right where you are. Those of you who are remaining seated, if you'll just sit quietly with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. It's not important what God's doing with everybody else. It's important what He's doing with us. God, we come to You this morning as Your children who are absolutely amazed that You love us at all. Who are absolutely amazed that You're even aware that we're here. Because it's certainly not by anything that we've done that we deserve Your attention. But we come to You this morning to tell You we are grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for what He did for us at Calvary. And we come to confess to You that with Your prophet Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in a land of people whose lips are unclean. But God, I can't do anything about anybody other than myself. And so I just lay myself out before You and I ask You to touch me. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my mouth. Cleanse my attitude. Cleanse the deep places in my heart that I might love You more than I've ever loved You my whole life. That I might know You like I've never known You. And that I might experience You like I've never experienced You. God, we thank You for how good Your Word is. And we thank You that out of a motivation of love, You even take the time to speak. But having taken time to speak, Lord, we pause right now and we take time to respond. And we say, Lord, we love You. And we will cooperate with Your Spirit in whatever way Your Spirit moves in our lives. That we might be whole, that we might be complete, and we might be clean before You. That God, we want to be holy, even as You are holy. We believe that You can bring every thought captive. And so we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Forgive us of our sins of abusing Your name. Forgive us of having junk parked in our hearts, leaving You on the outside. Forgive us of split devotion. May all of our affection be for who and what You are. In Jesus' name, amen. God's good to us, isn't He? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.